Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nick Comb. Right.
The Canaanite Nick Comb. So archaeologists have unearthed...
Who's doing the story? Well, why didn't you pick it up? You just wanted to...
Well, what's the story then?
She's been cussed.
No. Yes. I'm just saving the listeners a bit of time by explaining what the story is.
Rather than you reading it
aloud in a shouty voice and then getting confused halfway through. No, you do it.
No, you do it.
Well, you do it. I don't care.
All right.
Theme music. Fine.
Headline is Nick Comb helps untangle first Canaanite sentence, right? Tom Whipple, love you, Tom. It's the faintest of indentations, the slightest of engravings, worn down over four millennia. It barely catches the light. But on an ivory comb found buried in Israel, archaeologists have uncovered the world's earliest Canaanite sentence. Now, what I think is interesting about this is that it's a Nick Comb.
Yes. So the story is they've got this Nick Comb. They've had this Nick Comb for quite a long time. They're not that. You look at it and it's this, how old is it? Canaanite, it's like 3,000 years. It's the early... They haven't said in the...
Four millennia.
4,000 years, okay? And it looks a lot like a fucking Nick Comb. Yeah. It really is a Nick Comb, and it's got a thick side on one side for, like, doing your hair, and then thinner things for pulling out the knits.
The message on it says, "May this tusk root out the lice of the hair and the beard."
I mean, which is amazing. They put instructions on it, literally at the top, directions for usage. And... the reason it's a story now, although this was unearthed some decades ago, no one had ever seen the lettering, and it's exciting because it's an alphabet. And it's the first alphabet, the oldest alphabet, that is a precursor of our current alphabet. And there's a notion that, and also it's just fun because, and I think they spoke to the archaeologist or the linguist who... about it, you know, are you disappointed that it's not something more momentous or religious? And they go, no, this is brilliant because it's actually, they're writing something people actually read. Otherwise, if it just said Ramesses the Great taketh my soul or whatever.
Like, yeah, we know that.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah. The Nick Comb thing, and it's just lovely, isn't it? There's a Nick Comb. You just, you know, Sam always has knits.
Well, he doesn't always have knits because obviously I'm very assiduous about knit combing, but unfortunately there once a single louse gets into a school, especially a school with little boys in. You comb and comb and comb and comb and comb and do all the stuff. But then, as you comb,
you go through the names of the mums you think might be the ones who aren't combing their son properly. I bet it was her. I bet it was that one with the Land Rover. It's that one who always parks on the zigzag, hasn't bothered to go.
Well, and, there is that, definitely, yeah. Definitely. Not at this school, but at the last school.
And were the Canaanites doing it? I know which fucking mum it was.
Yeah, of course they were.
This woman with massive coal eye makeup, like Cleopatra. And her hair in those long sort of beaded braids, and she's sort of, you know, walking along sideways like an Egyptian, and then she sits down to comb her kicker. It's that fucking bitch down by the Nile who's always feeding the crocodiles. It's that one with the really big pyramid whose fucking little Ptolemy has not been properly...
It's a gross, disgusting job, and it's a pain in the arse. And
also, that Egyptian
boys
hair,
hate it.
They all have that black bob. So yeah. It's quite a hassle to knit comb it.
No, much less of a hassle than any other kind of hair. Like curly hair. Oh my god. But also no. What I do is when I sit, obviously at Sam's school, they've all got very neat army back and short back and side. But any kid I see who's got like a big curly tangle, if there's knits in the school and there's a kid with a big curly tangle hair, if you had to stick a knit comb through that thatch, you would have cut it off.
Well,
by
both
now.
Our kids were both at a previous school, which was really sort of arty farty posh private Hampstead, you know, lovely place. Everyone was a child of a pop star. And all the boys had this super long hair, and they all had these sort of, you know,
they all
cool
had knits and thread
worms and
constantly.
Stuff. Everyone had knits all the time.
And worms all the time.
Is that what brought down the Egyptians then? Is that was the end of Egyptian civilization?
What a massive fight between all the mums about who's got knits.
Yes, exactly. Cleopatra, you know, it wasn't an asp though, it was a knit comb. It was, they put the poison knit comb.
No, the thing you do here is Canaanite innovations. So they've got the Nick comb, but are they going to find a Canaanite banana keeper?
What's a banana keeper?
Oh my God.
It's the bit where you lose me.
Ben, do you know what a banana keeper is?
It's a yellow plastic thing in the shape of a banana that you put your banana
in. So why you would you put it? Banana comes in a banana shaped thing.
Exactly. It's about stupid innovations that the Canaanites.
But Nick combs are great.
Yeah, I'm... Yes,
you've slightly gone...
I haven't. No, don't...
You want an avocado slicer and a Canaanite... Canaanite creme caramel blowtorch that the Canaanites always left in the cupboard and never used.
Exactly, exactly. It's a sort of like other Canaanite inventions that they haven't found yet. They've got a Nick comb. Nick combs are quite advanced.
A Canaanite coffee warmer that you plug into the cigarette lighter of your car, which doesn't have a cigarette lighter anymore.
A Canaanite spider catcher. You were clearly not...
What's a spider catcher?
Oh my God, you never read the innovations catalogue
in
the 90s.
No, but you're blending two stories that don't need to be blended. Leave the innovations catalogue out. It's not... You don't want to do knit combing. You want to do mundane things that they had. Not necessarily shit inventions.
So, okay, those are shit inventions. You know, I thought they were funny.
No, they are funny. It's funny. It's good for 2 seconds of the podcast. But whether or not it could make Giles Corran's column in the Times.
Oh, fucking hell, darling. That is not much.
No. But it's like, don't you want to envisage a Canaanite's day? As the Canaanite, it's like, wakes up. And it's like, you've got to... It's sort of doing the Nick comb with this massive clay thing with writing on it. And then...
Other
children things are there? What are the other problems? What are the other shit things about having kids? Or what are the annoying things about having kids? Training. Canaanite potty. Shitteth thee here, little child. And... Canaanite nappies.
But there were Canaanite nappies,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah. And they're unlikely to have survived the little poos rolled up in...
Yeah, no. Well, they would have pooed and then...
The whole thing about the Canaanites, they had nappies that wouldn't survive for 4,000 years, unlike Pampas,
exactly.
Which would all be here for 4,000 years to come.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing I've said, the Canaanites, the thing about the Canaanites was that they were the people in Israel before the Jews, or they ruled it before the sort of building of the city. And if you ever visit... Jerusalem, the wall, David's walled city, and you look at it from the Garden of Gethsemane, and you look down and you see the walls built by King David, not by some goys that King David hired. Wall there, not there. But outside the walls, there is land which has not been developed in the 4,000 years since, because it's the land just outside the walls of the city where the Canaanites used to make human sacrifices.
Ugh.
And the whole thing that Judaism and monotheism all evolves from is the eradication of the human sacrifice. So that's why you have the sacrifice of Isaac that doesn't happen. It's very important. And then Abraham ends up sacrificing a ram, because the early Jews did do... who were the first monotheists? They did, or the Zoroastrians maybe, but the early Jews were the first monotheists, and they did sacrifice animals, but not humans. And the Canaanites did sacrifice humans. So there was this crossover point where the Canaanites were like the kings of the world,
right,
knit combing their children and then burning them to death as an offering to Baal or Dagon or one of those.
Right. So what you're telling me is that it's outside Jerusalem. There's land that is as it is. As it was 4,000 years
ago,
and it's never been
built on
because
they killed, they sacrificed people. Their children to God there, and then invented a religion where you don't have to slaughter people, and you can just imagine the first Israelites moving. This is nice, I like it. Oi, they sacrificed their only humans, and they say, well, these Canaanites, we will inhabit this. There are some wonderful things about them. The knit comb, for example, a wonderful invention.
The plug-in milk frother.
But the sacrificing of the humans? Nah, we don't want that.
We don't like that.
So it's and also you can imagine. I mean, we all know that in a Jewish household, and I think of this as one. In a Jewish household,
it's a Judeo-Christian household.
Whatever.
Yeah. I'm an Anglican.
But I'm a very observant Jew. So that makes up for it.
Well, you mean you watch me making smoked salmon bagels?
I do, while tucking into a bacon sandwich. But so Jews will be much more assiduous knit combers. When we suspect other parents at the school,
it's never the Jews.
Oh, it's not the Jews, because Jews, we're into cleanliness.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nice short crew cut.
Yeah.
And lots of knit combs.
Nobody that indulges in ritual circumcision so as not to get nasty bits of grit in their willy is then going to let their kid have a head full of knits.
You seem a little sclerotic today. Actually, I don't know what that means. What does it mean?
Good. I mean, that's arterial, isn't it?
Is it?
Arteriosclerosis is blocking of the arteries. So sclerotic probably means bunged up, but sclerotic, I think, you think means choleric.
What does choleric mean? Choleric is the good one. No, sanguine's the good one. That's when you're like... everything's chill. Choleric, you're just like a wasp in a bottle.
Yeah, a little bit. A wasp in a bottle with builders in it.
Okay. Is there on our list that I don't know whether to read out or not? Probably not. Is there anything?
You're going to what? Read out our
running order.
It's not our running order. It's my running order.
Okay, please. You have it then.
Thank you. What's this on the bottom of it? The email and any attachments are confidential. Maybe you need to be privileged. Not the property of news. Oh, it's because I sent it to you as a thing, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Please do not print it out unless you really need to. Well, we really needed to this morning. Are there any, just in terms of, we haven't got a running order, but is there anything that you would more like to talk about than less?
Well, the top of the list, yeah. It's the first thing is, as you're down there with the printer, could you print this out for the pod, please?
Because I've insisted that the printer be moved to the kitchen.
Yeah, which as opposed
to... So our son Sam is desperate for a very bizarre sort of pet called an axolotl. Very sweet picture.
I hold the picture up for the benefits
very sweet.
Of radio. In amongst my notes, I found it.
An
axolotl is basically a human fish. It's a little thing with arms and legs and a face with fins.
Yeah.
Are we talking about this?
Because I want to talk about why I've moved the printer. Anyway, Sam is... And I basically said, no, I don't want another fish pet. And also Iris the cat will eat it, pretty much, and it'll be horrible.
So he found a technical legal loophole where an axolotl isn't a fish.
It's not a fish, it's a person.
It's
basically
an amphibian.
A tiny mermaid.
But it's an amphibian that can't live on land.
Or something.
It's really complicated. It's got so
like
many ways of dying, which is what you want in a pet.
So, but basically, in response to my kind of nothing in a tank, please, he has gone sort of bonkers and written a 50-page dossier about the axolotl and claims now to be an expert. And he was printing out so much stuff that I had to move the printer to the kitchen because it was more convenient.
Because the printer is no longer in either of our studies, because neither of us has a study, because they're being turned into bedrooms, which is what the builders are doing. So we're up again in Kitty's bedroom where the printer was.
Yeah.
And now you're in this narrow but very tall Victorian house where the printer's either in the basement,
or
in the attic.
Or in the attic, yeah.
Running up and down printing.
Yeah, at least it's good for our... sclerotic health.
But this axolotl thing is because you wouldn't let him have a snake, right?
Apps over my fucking dead body. I respect snakes' right to exist. I do not want one in my house. And in the pet shop, we met a guy who was there looking at other animals because their snake had escaped. And he said, oh, yeah, snakes are real escape artists. And I looked at Sam and I just went, yeah, I mean...
An hour? It would be before it left? Yeah.
And it would just be in my bed. And then all of my nightmares would come true. Even if it's got no teeth, okay? I just, snakes,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, exactly. No. This thing would be slithered between your thighs.
Oh, God! I went straight into that one.
And you'd think it was a snake, but it'd be worse, it's your husband.
Exactly. Anyway,
I think this is quite original of him to have gone for an axolotl. I couldn't have told you what one was before. They are endangered, threatened, exist only in a lake...
In
Mexico City, which is like not where you want to live if you're a quite fragile amphibian. Humans only last about a week in Mexico City,
they
let
do
alone.
At the moment, yeah.
So it's, but it's very successfully bred in captivity, and it's not in any sense bad, or it's not like an exotic pet that you shouldn't have. There are basically none, so few left in the wild, so critically endangered, that it's one of those things which can now only exist really in children's aquariums, and it's very sweet. He has got this huge dossier, and he's got an answer to every... So he was going the other day, so, Dad, in fact, he called me Father in these discussions. So, Father, what are your three main concerns? And I go, well, first of all, it's the changing of the water. Ah, if I could point you to section, literally 3D.
He's got, like, fold-out sections that he sort of stapled together, and they all kind of fold out.
It's
like,
all really sort of just William / Jennings Goes to School.
It is.
And he said, literally points you to section 3D, in which the water does not have to be completely changed. Only a quarter of the water has to be taken out and refilled every month. So that's fine. Any other concerns? What does it eat?
He was describing to me how the poos can be individually picked up with a little pipette, and I was like, well,
yeah,
have fun,
you're
Sam.
You're going to be doing that, are you, mate?
Yeah.
Instead of iPad?
Yeah.
Or instead of going to Nando's?
Eating pizza in front of the telly? I mean, yeah, exactly. Anyway, let's stop talking about it.
But it's quite interesting. So what he does is the moment you get home from school, he runs to his room to immediately begin his axolotl research, which, and actually one of the stories on my running order, you wonder where that was going.
Yeah, I did.
Half of young people, revealed in the paper, that they spend most of their free time alone in their room.
Half?
You're going to say, it's the boys, and they're all wanking. And that's the end of the story.
And also, how do you define young?
Well, darling, I mean,
how
less than 54.
Define,
yes, I know. The story's in the paper. It's not one of the stories I've cut out. It was young people. It was like under 18, let's say young people. And then it was like, of those, three quarters of them are just on screens. And it went into this thing. And it's just like, I didn't have anything about it, but now I discover maybe they're all just researching axolotls.
Well, I spent, as a young person, with no screens, because there were no iPads, and I certainly didn't have a telly in my bedroom when I was little, I spent quite a lot of time in my room, and I wasn't wanking. I was like, just hanging out. I quite liked my room. But then I was writing and drawing little cartoons.
I was listening to Test Match Special, and...
No, but you really were wanking.
Throwing a ball. This is when I was 11. Mm. Throwing a ball against a wall, and then hitting it with a bat and writing down the score. Until one afternoon when I was 12 and a half that I discovered...
There was something else to do.
I put that away. This is a bit yucky, but at the same time. Anyway, so that's what the children are doing, and we've got to the bottom of that.
Is it a column that you want to write? No.
About
discovering...
discovering wanking.
About your text
if
test
only my
score.
Parents had bought me an axolotl. That, in fact, it's what a wonderful euphemism that would be. I'm just going upstairs to feed the axolotl.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I'll be down in about 3 minutes, running of taps. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, I feel like the... Okay, yeah, how do
you... Yeah, no, go, you go, you go. You bring something to the party, come on.
Okay, in that case, you had an idea, Rachel. Can you pass me your ideas sheet, please, so I can read your idea back to you? So you're excited because we're going to go and see we're going to go and see a performance of A Christmas Carol in Stratford-upon-Avon in...
Royal Shakespeare Company in December.
In December. And Adrian Edmondson is Scrooge,
I was reasonably excited. We saw that amazing Christmas Carol Matey from Doctor Who. What's he called?
Yeah.
Can't remember. What's he called? The one who plays Moriarty.
He's not Moriarty. He plays his brother.
That fellow. Who's that excellent chap?
The one who writes everything. Come on, Ben. Help us out.
Come on, Ben. The guy, the TV guy.
Mark Gatiss.
Yes,
thank you very much.
Excellent.
Young man helps out two old people. Hey, yeah. I saw this play. I think it was Burbage, you said.
Fellow with the nose.
And we saw the Mark Gatiss one at Ali Pali, and it was just the best.
So amazing.
Fucking rotating cast of about seven, and a guy with cerebral palsy playing Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
And that
amazing trans person.
Doing all the ghosts,
and he was just so good.
And it was this amazing, moving thing where... It was the first ever kid with cerebral palsy to play Tiny Tim, but because they were an ensemble cast, he also played other roles. Mm. And I wrote about it, and when I looked him up, because I wanted to get a handle on who he was, I can't remember his name now, it said cerebral palsy, good in a wheelchair, can also walk if the role requires, which was just the best thing. After 1,000 years of actors, say, yes, I can walk with a stick if the role, I can do it. I can hunch almost quadruple to play my Richard III. So to see an actor with cerebral palsy saying, yeah, I can walk if I have to, it was just brilliant. And he did in this role. But anyway, so even more excitingly, or as excitingly, so we're going to this Christmas Carol, and I just flipped open the Times to see it's Adrian Edmondson.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of him, and you realise that even when he was Viv in The Young Ones, he was Scrooge. When he was in Bottom, he was Scrooge.
Yeah.
He just is Scrooge. That sort of... You know, removing the joke, he's just his cantankerous, and I'm just, I cannot wait. And he's got a great review in the Times today.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. And
it made you think, it made you think of doing quite a classic column. It was maybe a little bit early in the year for it, but as you pointed out, in your office in Soho, they've already got a Christmas tree up.
Segue, just about. Little, just pause, because this is also a thing. I went into my office yesterday, walked in, fucking Christmas tree being put up. Turned to my friend Erica on reception and she went, oh, no, I know. I don't know what they think. I've got to look at it every day. At least you can go up to the fourth floor. And it's like, I don't want it to be Christmas now. This is not going to be a podcast about, ooh, Christmas seems to be coming earlier and everything. I don't give a fuck what they're doing in the window, Selfridges or Harry. If I come into my office with shit to do and I see a Christmas tree, I'm going to think, fuck, it's nearly Christmas.
And it's not.
I've got to get on with stuff. Yeah. And it's really not. It's really not. What is it now? November the 7th, 10th?
November the 9th.
We drop on the 10th, the 11th. It's early. It's not even Armistice Day yet, or it is the day when this drops.
Yeah.
But, and, you know,
it is too early for Christmas.
Christmas means the end of the world. Christmas means all the things you have to do and all the people you don't want to see. Oh, we must meet up for dinner. Let's do it in the new year.
Mm.
Never.
Yeah.
But it should be just pushed away. One does have work that has to be done by, you know.
Oh, there. I mean, Christmas and New Year. If you think about it too carefully, it does feel a little bit like the end of the world. It is this major, major deadline.
Yeah.
And
everything
you really
goes dark.
Yeah.
You've got to get all your work done and immediately afterwards feed 1,000 people for no apparent reason and give them really excellent presents and drive around pissed all over England trying to get from to one fucking terrible thing for another just so you can get to the 28th and lie back and go, fucking hell, I'm glad that's over.
Yeah.
And then do New Year, which is always disappointing, and then start a whole nother fucking year. You don't want to see a Christmas tree now.
No, it is a little bit like, a dark figure in the corner of the room with a scythe, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like walking to the office and Erica on reception saying, morning, Giles, don't forget, you are going to die.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
It is a little bit like that.
Yeah, it is, yes. It's like seeing one of those pictures they have on fag packets now of a tumorous lung. Or
those are always really nice to look at.
Lovely.
But so you had the idea, which is quite a classic column idea, maybe a bit early in the year, might not work, but I loved it so much, which was different people in politics representing different characters in Charles Dickens.
Or from anywhere. So Adrian Edmondson, God, yes, of course he is Scrooge.
Yeah.
You know, other people, and you could either be written up as a column or it could be a listicle, which I always enjoy because they're fun, because writing the link bits is the
hard
stuff.
You haven't done a list for a really
for
long
a
time.
While.
I think limiting it to politicians is actually really funny.
I think in the column you start off with the odd actor in order to lure people in.
Right.
Adrian Edmondson, well, of course, you know, Simon Callow. Well, he's all Dickens characters, isn't he?
But I mean,
Simon Callow is just one you could fit in, but how could he not be? And I think you're making a little bit of a con. I mean, I mentioned Christmas Carol and Dickens last week but that was about Saving Simpson's Tavern, which is, by the way, thanks to Times readers, doubled overnight from £33,000 to £66,000, the fund to save them. Now at 90, well on the way to. They set up a society, they're going to try and get it registered as a site of special
community interest. Much, much harder for the holdings company to shut it down.
Table Holdings.
It's just, you know.
They're going to look at it and go, they're going to realise they made a mistake. They made some Ghana sunbed in Bermuda. Yeah, we'll throw those bastards out.
Mm-hmm.
Tick, tick, that'll make the accounts work.
Yeah.
No, it's a bigger thing than that. And the Times has made a thing about it. The Times followed up with a leader. The Telegraph have done Tanya Gold in the Standard. It's a hot potato now, and it's possible that the Times has saved it. But anyway, so one could come back to it to say, yes, other people, I thought, you know, Boris Johnson, Mr. Bumble.
Yes, although Boris Johnson, a bit like Simon Callow, he is a bit of a Dickensian character, isn't he? So he could be sort of very, how about Rishi Sunak as young Scrooge? So when he goes back in time and sees himself all sort of like clever with his books and like, you know, being all sort of diligent, and he's got a little girlfriend and he's sort of a little whippersnapper, Rishi Sunak.
It's because Dev Patel played David Copperfield in that film.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. And it was this breakthrough South Asian casting of a character. And Dev Patel, I just can't help seeing him. Dev Patel is bound to play Rishi Sunak in the film about how Rishi Sunak fucked up when and if he does. I can't help but see Rishi Sunak now as anything other than David Copperfield.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. But all Dickens characters are the last person that successfully played them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Like our friend Charles Dance from up the road, who played, I think, Tulkinghorn in Bleak House.
Yeah, but how can Tulkinghorn be anyone else?
How can anybody monstrously terrifying out of a Dickens novel be anything except Charles Dance with sideburns and a huge Victorian collar?
Yeah, exactly.
You just see him walking up Highgate Road and going, ah!
I saw him in the grocer the other day with his girlfriend in Fram, yeah, and he was buying ingredients for a caprese salad, and I'm afraid I was just sort of he was buying ingredients for a caprese salad, and he was talking.
Don't be absurd. If you're making a caprese salad with mozzarella, you can't be really. Is my indoor voice, darling. Exactly. You can't use fucking cherry tomatoes in an insalata caprese. You need
pass me that bag, will you?
Not those heritage fuckers. That's when I was a lad, the tomatoes. I'd say this with the greatest respect of Charles, who is one of our great celebrity neighbours, and we do nod to each other in the street. But
I scuttle past and try not to look him in the eye.
Hello, Corran! Fucked anybody off recently? Jolly good day.
But also your suggestion of Gavin Williamson as Bill Sykes.
But Gavin Williamson is much more pusillanimous in some ways, isn't he? Who's very humble?
Oh, Uriah Heep.
Who's that? Uriah Heep, there you go.
Gavin Williamson is a kind of combination of Uriah Heep and Bill Sykes. Yeah. I thought Jacob Rees-Mogg would make a wonderful...
Again, all of them!
No, he would make a wonderful Miss Havisham.
Yes. I was going to say Angela Rayner as Nancy.
No, Nancy, I thought of Nancy as Nadine Dorries. She's such a...
Look about Angela Rayner's got the hair and the da-da-da-da, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. But I think that I feel like Nadine Dorries has got some of the kind of the wide-eyed sort of like, of Nancy. Whereas Angela Rayner is a bit more kind of canny and kind of
and
like,
everyone wants
easy little governor. Yeah, she doesn't talk like that, but you know what I mean? She's
also,
a bit
everybody
more...
wants to club Nadine Dorries to death under London Bridge.
So Wes Streeting, Mr. Popular, could be Fred, Scrooge's nephew. You don't know who Wes Streeting is, do you?
He's that one who definitely wants to be Prime Minister and all the Corbynites hate, and he's always on Times Radio. And although I love Times Radio and I love the Times and we are a great thing, we are broadly a conservative organisation. Why is Wes Streeting always on fucking
because
Times Radio?
Because he's desperate to be a centrist. He's desperate to be like...
centrist dad.
Yeah, centrist dad. Exactly. Who did I have for Keir Starmer? I thought Keir Starmer could be...
He could be Bleak House.
Could he be...
He could just play the house with his giant head. You just put a massive door on it.
Ken Clark, obviously, the Ghost of Christmas Present.
So we need some other Dickens. Which way round should we go? We look for the famous person first or the Dickens character? So the Dickens, let's try and move away from those really famous ones.
Right.
What about Esther from Bleak House?
Estella. Suella Braverman.
Estella.
Yeah. Sort of cold-hearted and calculating Estella. No?
Smallpox.
Estella didn't get smallpox.
That's why she's got a pop-mark face. That's the whole thing.
Estella doesn't have a...
She's got pop-mark face.
Oh, so you mean Esther from Bleak House, not Estella from Great Expectations?
You turn out to have read more Dickens than I'd have thought.
No, Google, mate.
No.
I mean...
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.